Let's start the show.
Unlike most programs, the performer hasn't been provided with a script.
Open Line is ready to roll.
Ignition sequence start.
So listen to this. Listen to this. Okay, listen.
Open Line starts now.
All talk, no action.
Okay, welcome back in. It is Open Line. I'm Charlie Stone, and credit where it's due, JB is flying the aircraft, doing a marvelous job of it, and Mark Hahn is joined me this morning. I wasn't really quite ready to come in today, but there is no way I'm going to miss this show.
Yeah.
Because it is so internationally and nationally important, and that's what this show is all about. So here we go, 239-2101. We got some time for your calls. Love to hear from you and your perspective, your reaction. What are you thinking? Because, you know what, as I said earlier, it ain't about the senators or the congressmen anymore, or even Joe Biden. It's about we the people. We the people need to tell it like it is and have our thoughts out there, not some senator's thoughts or some congressman's thoughts. So 239-2101. Hey, Chuck, welcome to the program.
Enjoy your show as always.
Hey, thanks, buddy.
Your previous comments on that, the new mantra is we need to tone down our rhetoric on both sides.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Well, let's compare the rhetoric. Basically, from the people on the right say that Joe Biden is cognitively impaired.
Okay.
I think he is.
I think he is, too.
I think it's factually true. We say that Joe Biden is corrupt. Well, I think that's factually true as all. There's bank records to prove it.
Mm-hmm.
We also say that Hunter Biden is a crook. That's factually true.
Mm-hmm.
There's bank records that prove it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's go to the left. Let's see what they say. They say that Trump's a fascist.
He's a what?
He's a fascist.
Oh, a fascist. Yeah, right. Okay, yep, they say that.
Yeah, they say that he's a Nazi.
That he's bad for America.
They say that, there's so many things. They say that, you know, that Trump is going to be a dictator on day one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, none of that is true. And he's been president. He already has a record. So when it comes down to toning down the rhetoric, what from the right are we supposed to tone down?
Well, you also forgot rapist, felon, and fraudster.
Exactly. There's so many. So I think in the end it's a ploy on the left to say, oh, let's tone it down. Well, that's just saying to the Republicans, you can't say anything factual about what's actually going on with our candidate.
No.
So I don't think we need to fall for that trick. So it'll be interesting to hear Trump's speech.
Yeah.
It's amazing that he's alive. And again, this debate issue as far as toning down rhetoric, I think is a ploy from the left to get us to be silent. And I'm just interested to hear what other people think.
Well, he left out one crook, and that was Matthew Crook, the shooter.
Oh, the shooter, yeah.
On this.
All right. Well, Chuck, let's see what other people have to say. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Don't forget about the CNOS text line, too.
Yeah, the CNOS text line, 239-2101. While we're waiting for you, here's some of the stuff that's come out from the left, if I may. A lot of people are offering prayers to the Trumpster. Others, they haven't budged off their hatred.
You're going to be watching The View today when you leave here?
Oh, hell no.
Well, even though it's not our cup of tea, you want to pay attention. You want to see what those women say.
Yeah, well, they're nuts.
Yeah.
Here's one off of X. The failed shooting of President Trump was clearly a hoax created by the right for sympathy and votes.
Mm-hmm.
like the man is telling his security, wait, this is perfect, and raises fist, LOL.
Yeah.
Are you just plain? What kind, did your mother drop you on your head?
Well, that's the same people that would have said that the moon landing in 1969 was all staged in Texas.
Another one. Watch this whole thing will be found out to be a hoax, all orchestrated by Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah, hey, I got a great idea, guys. Let me go up on stage, and let's have this so perfect that I can have a sniper shoot me and not hurt me except for the ear. Yeah, come on.
You'd be like William Tell, you know, shoot the apple off my head. Can you do that? You know,
another one. This Trump shooting is a hoax. His bodyguards look absolutely clueless. No, what I saw are four or five Secret Service agents that jaws clenched, eyes wide open, heads on swivels, and they hit him so hard that he had to put his shoes back on.
Yeah.
Three shots. Nobody hit. Excuse me, we have a dead firefighter.
Mm-hmm.
Don't rush him off stage, and he makes his photo op. Nobody moves. Hoax. No, and if you listen real closely to the videotape, they had him down. They were screaming, shooters down. We're ready to go. We're ready to go. On your call, on your call. And the call just didn't
happen because they had to wait until to make sure that that was not the only shooter. They had to be sure. So that's why they had to delay a little bit on this, too. But there were, I think, there's 6 to 7 shots, even 8.
Oh, yeah.
I heard up, 8 up, even. But that are they including the snipers, the Secret Service snipers on the roof?
I don't know.
And their shots.
Another one. I mean, what a coincidence this Trump hoax happened in a state he needs.
Mm-hmm.
Another one. This is a hoax. Just like January 6th, Trump set this up and planned to be shot in here. Close relation to Trump campaign. Another one. The Secret Service has confirmed that Trump was, in fact, injured in a security incident and that he is being treated at a medical center. Really? Yeah, it's a security entrance. I mean, I heard the pops. You heard the pops.
Oh, yeah.
I saw the blood. Was he injured sufficiently terribly? No. And I'm giving credit to the Almighty on that
exactly.
one.
Exactly. The hand of God that had him turn his head just at that right time and that bullet that missed.
Another one that comes out... what is it? Let me see if I can find it.
You said, you know, you read one about January 6th being a hoax.
Yeah.
Tell that to the people that are still in jail without a
all
trial.
Right. Or in solitary.
Exactly.
CNN, and I think it was, it was CNN special correspondent Jamie Gangel. Believe it or not, 80 seconds after the shooting, criticized Trump for his reaction.
Huh?
I do want to say there was one thing that I watched the tape. When I watched the tape, I found odd because of all the heated rhetoric. And that is, after he was hit, former President Trump got up and said, fight, fight, fight.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, the most overused word in politics. You have never heard a commercial from a politician that doesn't use the word fight.
Right.
Send me to Washington, I'll fight for you. Gangel added, I think we're hearing from people, what we're hearing from people is that there's not the message we want to be sending right now. We want to tamp it down. Oh, Lord. I'm glad that the FCC has a cussing rule, because I'm about ready to let loose. You know what, Jamie? You mind-boggling doofus. This guy was just shot. Could have been worse. And he gets up. He's starting to collect himself. I'm sure he's feeling a little more comfortable with five or six Secret Services agents wrapped around him. And he's looking out at a crowd, 25,000 plus, I understand. And you know what he's going to do? What anybody else would do. Don't let this stop you. Right. Fight. Fight. Fight.
Yeah. Look at Chuck Schumer, you know, with Roe versus Wade, when that was going to be reversed.
Oh, yeah?
The Supreme Court will reap the whirlwind, he said. Well, isn't that a threat?
Yeah.
Same thing.
It is. Same thing.
People forget that, though. You know, there's lots of other examples we could point to. You know, what you could have done is done the Saturday Night Live routine with Dan Aykroyd years ago on the newscast. Jane, you incredible. So,
yeah, exactly.
You say that to the reporter there.
Exactly. Jamie Gengel, upset. And actually, speaking to tens, if not hundreds of thousands of people, blaming the victim. And yep. And blaming that he just got shot, so he is going to incite another riot. Media is the enemy of the people. It's very unfortunate that they feel comfortable talking like this. I got to tell you, when I watched the media, most of the media, I watched Fox, but they all seemed, at least on Fox, empathetic and competent to talk about what was going on, and they weren't. But then you go over to CNN, MSNBC. Holy moly, what is it going to take for these people to understand that he is not the Antichrist? He's not the Antichrist. He is a man running for office with a belief structure that will help each and every one of us if we let him go for it. And then you got a president who 24 hours earlier was calling him a disciple of hell, and he's going to ruin the country.
And there should be a target on his back.
And there's, yeah, exactly, Mark. There's going to be there should be a target on his back. Now he comes out, well, nobody should go through this kind of violence, and we got to calm it down. And
most of that has been on the other side of the aisle. The really vicious and obnoxious comments have been on the other side of the aisle. Now, I'm not saying that Republicans are, you know, they're not going to be guilty of being incensed, especially after what happened Saturday, you know, we need to take right. care of business and, you know, go after these people. I never heard any Republicans say that.
No.
Let's hear the facts. Let's get to the bottom
yep,
of it,
exactly.
analyze it all, then talk.
Exactly. Hey, Josh, what's going on with you?
Hey, good morning. A couple of quick things here.
Yeah.
One is when Joe the Meathead calls in, ask him. They say if you don't study history, you're going to
repeat it.
Mm-hmm. And when these people continually try to compare him to Hitler,
yeah,
they've got to go back to their history class, study up on what Hitler, the Nazis, the SS, brown shirts, all that stuff, what they did back in the 30s
yep.
to silence their political opponent.
Oh,
which was exactly what BLM did in the streets
right.
when they were burning down buildings and terrorizing people wearing their masks. Anyway, that's part of it.
Yep.
And then the other two things are TDS, Trump Derangement Syndrome, and snowflakes. These people just are not going to get over it.
No, and they're open to suggestions. Take a look at the campuses and the whole Palestinian and Israeli conflict and the side that they're taking. It's being put up, and it turned out that they find that the money behind it, everybody's thought George Soros, including me, and it wouldn't surprise me. Bill Gates, George Soros,
yeah.
they're on the left and they support these things, but it was Iran. We have foreign influences that are buying this hatred.
Yeah, and promoting it. You're right, Josh.
Yeah, remind him that the Nazis were anti-Jew and ask him which party right now is anti-Jew. So
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for your time.
All right. Josh, thank you, man. Appreciate your call. This really hit the old apple cart on this one. And did you have any thought over the last few weeks or months that somebody's going to take a shot at this guy?
Well, is it a surprise that this happened?
No, it isn't. That's what it makes me think about me. Why is this not a surprise?
Actually, some people were actually speculating that that was going to happen to Joe Biden. That the odds were because of people very upset. But you got to remember, you know, half the country upset on the right, half the country upset on the left, too. You know, the funny thing was that Jerry Seinfeld, when he was on stage here not long ago, this was a couple of weeks, that one of the Palestinian pro-Palestinian protesters were up there and were heckling him.
Oh,
and,
yeah?
And he said, why don't you tell the people that that you're behind, you know, that you support, that you're here seeing a Jewish comedian. You're why you gave money to a Jewish comedian. And see how they react to that.
I love it. I love it. But also, it should be noted, when true investigative journalists went out and talked to these yahoos, one, and these are just the facts, one, they have no clue what a Palestinian is. Two, they have no history of the Palestinians, that the entire Middle East never wanted them. Three, they have no clue that Israel gave them the Gaza to run independently and do their thing, and they turned it into a terrorist territory.
Mm-hmm.
Four, they have no idea of what Hamas is saying, but yet they're going to put on their babushka and they're going to parade up and down the streets of a college demanding we give them free food because they're really being good Americans. The whole world is upside down and insane.
The only radio source for local news and information. This is KSCJ Sioux City. Streaming worldwide.
Please welcome Satan,
Charlie Stone,
Lucifer, and the Flash.
AM 1360, FM 94.9, KSCJ.
Hey, good morning. It has been open line. We still got a few minutes left. I'm Charlie Stone. Thank you for being here. We've had some really good guests, including a actual eyewitness to what went on Saturday. I'm excited to see the president tonight. I have no reason to believe that he won't make an appearance on the stage tonight with the Republican convention. That city, I saw the mayor on, they have really locked down that city. Matter of fact, he goes so far as to say it's probably the most secure place even beyond the White House now. So we hope that's true. Now, we do have another special guest we're bringing on board, and let me bring her on. If I can find my little switcheroony, there it is. Thank you. Brenna Byrd, our Attorney General. Brenna, Charlie Stone here, and I'm with Mark Hahn, and thanks for coming on today.
Oh, you bet. Good morning. We're in Milwaukee this morning.
I bet you are. I tell you, give us an Attorney General's thought of what the hell happened Saturday.
Oh, I mean, I'm still processing it myself. It's something you hope you never see something like that in your lifetime. It was scary, and it's clear to me that the hand of God is on this nation. And if anybody ever doubted it, I think Saturday night should convince even the doubters. I'm so thankful that President Trump is okay, and so thankful for the brave men and women who put themselves in harm's way to help keep him safe. We saw lots of law enforcement and Secret Service rushing to help him, and with no thought to their own safety whatsoever. So that's what law enforcement right. do for us every day. We just don't always get to see it.
Let me ask you this. As your position dictates, you're deep into law enforcement on a state level and on a national level too, but most of the time we have these yahoos do this, and there's some sort of a manifesto, a last note, a political statement. Are you surprised this guy brought nothing to the table except a gun?
Well, and I think we're still learning more about that because that investigation is being handled by the FBI. But sometimes when you look evil in the eye, it doesn't always make sense. Sometimes there are manifestos or other things, but there's also just something called evil. And I think that's what was on display Saturday night with what he was trying to do, trying to assassinate President Trump.
Well, he was 20 years old, and there was no social media history, as Charlie was saying, Brenna. There was nothing online that he was spouting off hatred toward Trump. They said he was a registered Republican, but he made a donation, $15, at Joe Biden's inauguration to a pretty far left-wing organization. Now, does that mean he was in the verge of starting to change his thoughts there, and it took maybe 3.5 years to percolate?
It's really hard to say, isn't it? One thing that I've learned as a prosecutor, when you look inside a twisted mind of a criminal, it's hard for the rest of us to understand how something like that could happen. And I think we have to make sure that something like this never happens again, that no one running for president or any other office has to face this. And I know everybody's looking at ways they can do a better job of keeping people safe. And I know here in Milwaukee, I have to say they have very good security, and people are taking it seriously and keeping everybody safe here so that we can have a democracy in action this week at the convention.
Let me ask you this. It just went in one ear and out the other. But when we talk about this kind of shooting and what's going on, tell me what your thoughts are. The one thing that I really, it's so refreshing, at least at this point, I'm not hearing this nincompoop talk about gun control.
Right.
We're not hearing all that. And do you find that as refreshing as me?
Well, yeah, I do. I mean, it seems like that's the usual go-to statement they like to go with, but I think it's important to look at this incident for what it is. It's an assassination attempt, and I think we all know that gun control doesn't work. Criminals and people who wish people harm, evil people, still find a way to get their hands on guns. It's the law-abiding people that follow those regulations, and they're the ones that are left less safe as a result.
Well, we've seen this in the past, too, with people. And Charlie, like you were saying, and Brenna, like, you know, there's so far, there has been no comments. Give it time. It will come up. Because that is another talking point that the left likes to bring up. See? It was the guns. And look, it was an AR-15 that his father had purchased. What did he do? He took it without his father's authority or approval and decided to crawl up onto that roof. He had explosives in his car. They found explosives at his house. This kid was not your run-of-the-mill one-time off, I'm going to take a gun and see if I can shoot the president. He was planning bigger things.
He was. It's clear that there is more to this story, and I think more will come out after that investigation starts to unfold. And, you know, one thing that I thought was really telling of the mainstream media's coverage is for hours afterwards, and right when it happened, I saw it for what it was, an assassination attempt, a failed assassination attempt. But they were all calling it an incident and a shooting, and I think it's important to call it what it is. It was an assassination attempt.
Let me ask you this. As the chief law enforcement officer in the state of Iowa, you see this unfold in Pennsylvania. You know, and I know, that Biden and or President Trump will be visiting Iowa before November. Does that engage you somehow after this situation?
Well, you know, typically what happens with those visits, they work with our local law enforcement, our police departments and sheriff's offices, and our state police in planning those visits. So from a law enforcement perspective, we're certainly not involved in the planning, but we would help out in any way that we were called upon to keep candidates safe. It's absolutely important, and I know Iowa law enforcement would do a good job of that. They've hosted both Biden and Trump and other candidates in the past and have done a great job.
Well, we know that we've had our Sioux City Police Chief, Rex Mueller, was in, and we were talking about scenarios and talking about, you know, when these candidates, and you know they will, whether it's the state of Iowa and pick a place, you know, whether it's the Quad Cities or Sioux City or Des Moines, does it make a difference in how they look at that? You know, this was an open air situation, and there's a lot of questions that have to be answered. How could somebody get up on a roof 150 yards away from the president? And even when people pointed out what took so long, why did the Secret Service officers that are up there with sniper rifles, that supposedly, Charlie talked about this earlier, that they had them there for what, maybe a minute? Or 2 minutes, he was within sight, he was scoped in, but he was waiting for authority to fire, and he did not get that, and it was too late. Once he started firing, mm-hmm. then they just did it. Are we looking at maybe to keep candidates on either side safe by having things on indoor venues? Des Moines got a huge area there that they can use. We've got the Tyson Event Center here. Or are we still saying, you know, well, hey, it doesn't matter if outdoor or indoor? Outdoor is going to be a little bit more riskier because you've got so much more you have to cover.
Yeah, they are a little riskier. And those are some of the security precautions that they analyze when deciding what venues and how to put together an event. And the indoor venues, it is easier for them to control the environment there. But even indoors, they have to be careful and follow all those protocols and make sure that they're keeping an eye out for someone who would wish them ill. And so we might see more events moving indoors. You know, we'll see. But at the end of the day, just so thankful that what could have happened didn't happen.
Right. Now, you are, again, I want to repeat it, the chief law enforcement officer in the state. And we've had this conversation earlier when you weren't listening in. But we talk about this rules of engagement, for lack of a better term, and that this local sniper who was on loan into the Secret Service was waiting for the Secret Service to give him a green light. He saw the guy, he had him in the sights, he saw the rifle, he knows he's not a Secret Service guy, and he never got the engagement go sign. My question is this: when you have a situation that is that obvious, how do you feel as Attorney General? I'm not waiting for engagement instructions. I'm going to take him out now. And if you want to bring me up on charges later on, go ahead. But I'm not waiting for engagement. This is a clear and present danger, and I'm engaging it right now. How do you feel on that?
Yeah, well, and as a prosecutor, I can tell you this. Law enforcement officers make those decisions all the time. And one of my duties as Attorney General is we review all officer-involved shootings that result in death. So times when a law enforcement officer had to engage with a firearm and take down someone who was a threat, either killing law enforcement or to killing other people in the community. So it's never an easy process. It's not like on TV. It's the real world. And
right.
What you have to have is good training. You have to have good equipment and officers that are ready, willing, and able to do what it takes. And I see that every day with what our law enforcement do here in Iowa, making those tough decisions. It's a split second. It's things that people who aren't in law enforcement would not be equipped to deal with. They have special training to be able to deal with those things, to understand what's a threat, what's not a threat, when it is appropriate to use non-lethal force to de-escalate something. And that's why I have put those reports on my website so that Iowans can read that. You can understand what went down, why it was necessary for the officer or deputy to use deadly force, and see why that happened and what happened. We need to get the word out on that a little bit so that people understand just what our officers are going through when it comes to that.
So in the chain of command in law enforcement, as Charlie was just pointing out, that he was asking, I got this guy inside, this is not right. You know, Are the upper management, should I say, in the chain of command, are they worried about lawsuits to either the federal government or local municipality or the state? Are they afraid of the lawsuits that will happen if it turns out, hey, that guy, you know, that it wasn't what they thought it was?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's really tough to say because that incident was... you know, not with law enforcement that I've worked with locally, but what I would say is this, you know, sometimes those concerns will be on their mind, but if I had to guess, the number one thing that law enforcement are worried about is they do not want to hit an innocent person by mistake, or they don't want to misjudge a situation when using deadly force. You know, they are peace officers. They're there to keep us safe. And while they do act with bravery and take out someone with a weapon, they're also very careful because... you know, they just are. They're trained that way. They're careful. And so I would imagine that the fear of shooting the wrong person or misunderstanding an incident is probably present in that kind of situation. And that's exactly what the training is for, to help people be able to react quickly and analyze and make the right decision.
Let me ask you, as you've watched this, I'm sure, Brenna, over and over and over again, are you noticing things we need to clarify? Things that maybe we're not right, maybe we're off, maybe the right thing didn't occur. Are you picking up that vibration?
Well, I think it's always important to learn from things like this. So obviously, vantage, unprotected vantage points, that is an obvious takeaway from all of this. You know, I also have to say that ideally getting President Trump to his vehicle more quickly, because I know it feels like an eternity. I know it's very quick, but in a situation like that, it's not known how many shooters there were, and so being able to get him to safety quickly should be the number one focus. And I'd also say, you know, I'm someone who's a little on the short side, but I'd say probably we need to make sure we have some pretty tall people guarding President Trump, right?
Yeah.
Because he is so tall, and you see the other law enforcement officers, I'm sure all of them are taller than I am, but just making sure that we have that physical presence around President Trump and President Biden, for that matter. We want everybody to be safe, but and keeping them safe. So I imagine they're going to be looking through everything, their protocols, and learning from this incident. And I'll say the Secret Service that I've seen protecting President Trump at the rallies, because I campaigned all over Iowa with President Trump, they did a great job of keeping him safe and were very professional. So I think those line officers are going to learn from this and do everything they can to keep President Trump safe.
Have you talked to any law enforcement or Secret Service there in Milwaukee for the RNC convention that's getting underway and maybe get their input? Or maybe, hey, we learned something, here's what we're going to do, or, you know, or even just the people, the delegates, the people who are there for the convention, like yourself. What's the going theme?
Well, I think, I will say this, Milwaukee is very safe. They have brought in a number of law enforcement from around the country to keep everybody safe here. The only downside is some of that safety slows things down a little bit,
sure.
But that's, that's how it has to be. I think I'm seeing a coordinated law enforcement operation here where they're working to screen everyone and make sure that vehicles are screened and people are screened. And maintaining that secure perimeter. So everything I'm seeing here in Milwaukee, it looks good, and it looks like things are under control. But I would imagine that they've made some changes to what they were going to do, and everybody's certainly more vigilant right now.
Are you expecting to see Donald Trump tonight on stage?
We'll see. You know, nothing's been announced like that, but we shall see. It's going to be an exciting week. I know today I get to be the temporary chair and preside over part of the convention business, so I'm looking forward to doing that. And then tomorrow night I get to give a speech for the theme about making America safe again, which President Trump certainly will do, and so I'm looking forward to that as well.
How much did this change your speech? Did you have to go in and rewrite after this incident?
I got to say this, you know, President Trump's plans for making America safe again haven't changed, have they? They've always been a good plan. So I don't really need to change the speech, because my respect for law enforcement and President Trump's plan to keep our country safe and to make it safe again, nothing about what happened Saturday changed any of that. So I think it certainly is on everybody's hearts, and we're so glad that he's okay. and we all grieve for the family who lost a family member and others who are wounded and people who had to see something like that happen in front of them. But you know, we are very hopeful. And no, I have to say the speech really didn't change much, because you know, sometimes truth just doesn't change, does it?
No, really doesn't.
Well, we know that you know, President Trump's speech, from the one he originally was going to give at the convention, he ripped that up, and now he's going on a different tact. You know, he was going to be President Trump before. He was going to be, you know, that person who was making pointed comments and you know, making you know, he was being President Trump. But now he switched, and he is a different speech up there that's going to be more about, let's get together, let's keep this country and our people safe.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And I know, looking forward to hearing from him whenever it is he's going to address us this week. And there's so many people here who are excited to be here. A lot of enthusiasm here in Milwaukee.
Well, we're going to have the governor on Wednesday, so she'll be excited from that convention. And good luck today, Brenna. Thank you for spending a little time with us. You got a busy schedule out there, so we will allow you to get back to it.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks. Good talking to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Iowa Attorney General Brenna Byrd, our guest here. We're taking a break. We'll be right back.
What is going on? Breaking news.
What are you doing?
Big stories and discussion to sort it all out.
You might just learn something.
AM 1360, FM 94.9, KSCJ.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Open line with Charlie Stone.
Taking them back. Here comes some premium 91 octane knowledge.
AM 1360, FM 94.9, KSCJ.
All right, big news. We got the governor on Wednesday. From Milwaukee. Man, do you think we have anything to say to the governor? So, anyway, we're running out of time here, and JB just informed us that he will be taking, we've had just an inordinate amount of requests to put this up somewhere so people can hear it again, or if they didn't hear it the first time, but he's going to put together this 1, 2, and 3 hours up on my our podcast, Eric and I, our podcast. So it'll be there today sometime. And you can hear it again. You can go over it. We've had some really great guests, even an eyewitness. So it's been a award-winning, let me put it that way. And I want to thank you for coming in and helping me out this morning.
That's all right. Well, you know, I'm glad. And with everything that you've been going through here, Chuck, I mean, it was questionable whether you
would
be able to make it. And you aren't feeling the best right now. So hats off to you for sticking it out and doing this.
Last night, we went through all kinds of phone calls. Are you going to make it? Are you not going to make it? Yeah. And I honestly, and you'd feel the same way, what happened over the weekend, there ain't no way that I can't make this show today. Because everybody's going to be listening.
Yeah.
And they were. And so Mark said, hey, let me come in and just sort of be a support for you. And he did. And he was. And I thank you for that.
And I dialed up some folks that I talked to on Live. And got them to agree to be here. And thanks again to Rex Mueller.
Rex coming in. And there again, I there's going to be a lot to unpack in this 10-minute situation that happened on Saturday. 10 minutes is going to caused whether it's the FBI, the Secret Service, all law enforcement on a federal level, the Congress, they're all going to have to jump into this thing and figure out what happened, why it happened, what can we do to prevent it in the future, not only for Donald Trump, but for, as you said, Joe Biden, anybody else that's on the public stage. And the final part of that mixture is we've got to, as a people, calm it down a little bit. You can be angry. You can be a passionate.
Partisan.
That's not the problem. The problem is when you throw up the middle finger and tell me how you're going to kill me because I'm an evil devil. That's and for people to believe what some people have said, he's going to be a dictator. He's even said it. He was joking that he's going to do this and do that and set up concentration camps, and he'll take over the government, and we'll never have, he'll be the dictator. No, how do you believe this? How do you believe it? He's the president. And to be honest with you, if you've spent any time in Washington, the president's not the most powerful guy in Washington. Speaker of the House is.
Yeah.
The president can be sidetracked real easy by Congress. So how you believe, well, he's going to outlaw elections and he's going to be the dictator. Well, that's hokum. That's cowpucky.
It is.
It can't be done. It won't be done. And if anybody would attempt it, they would be removed from office so quick your head would spin.
Well, the thing is, I think, to remember that we saw over the weekend and other times in history is you cannot predict evil. You can't. No. If they could, none of this would have ever happened.
Well, you can't predict it.
You know,
you're
Bobby
right.
Kennedy, you know, with anybody, with President Reagan.
Well, all I know is in my lifetime, I've had 3 presidential attempts or assassinations. Now, that's ridiculous at the very face of it. So we want to thank you all for coming here. Don't forget, got the governor on Wednesday. And I know she's got a lot to say from the convention and about what happened over the weekend. And thank you. Keep it on KSEJ. Telling you, we're the voice of what's going on in this town. And whether it happens on a Saturday or a Sunday or at midnight, we're going to be here bringing it to you. And we're also going to be here bringing to you the follow-up on all of that. But as I said, this is going to be months before they reach the bottom of this barrel. There's so much. We don't even know what the guy was thinking. But I have a funny feeling between the FBI, U.S. Marshals, Secret Service, they will find out what this guy was thinking. But it ain't going to happen tomorrow.
Well, and watch for the parents to be called under the spotlight, too.
Yeah, and watch out for rumor and innuendo, because that's all it is rumor and innuendo. So with that, you can bring up anything. We're going to get out of here, make way for Clay and Buck, because I know they're going to have a barn burner today, too. And keep it right here at 1360 AM, 94.9 FM, KSCJ.
Go home, get some rest.
I am. I'm going to watch
Despite
Jerry Springer.
Overwhelming support from Democrats and Republicans. Time is running out for Congress to pass the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act, which will keep AM radio in cars. Text AM to 52886 and ask Congress to bring this bill to a vote now. AM radio is too important to let this moment pass us by.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message... Live and local at 1360 AM and now 94.9 FM. This is KSCJ.